We began a series, I guess, three Sundays back. And the title of the series is Teach Us to Pray. Go to Luke 11, if you would. Luke 11, and then also we're going to Matthew chapter 6. Luke 11, Matthew chapter 6. Luke 11 and 1 says, it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And among other things, he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. The very next verse, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in the heavens. I'm reading the Young's literal. Hallowed be your name. Your reign come, or your kingdom. Your will come to pass, as in heaven also on earth. Our appointed bread be giving us daily. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And mayest thou not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. But actually, it's Him teaching us to pray. And it's not that you repeat these phrases over and over robotically, but these are the main emphasis areas to pray. And we talked some about that. And if you weren't with us, go online and watch or listen to the previous messages. No charge, no cost. Now go with me to Matthew 6, please. This is the same happening, but one is Luke's account of it. The other is Matthew's account of the same thing. And in Matthew 6, we have more detail. That when they asked the Lord to teach them to pray, He actually began by teaching them what not to do. Telling them, don't pray like this. Don't do this. So in Matthew 6 and 5, He said, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues or in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. There's a lot of praying that is useless. And there's prayers that's even abhorrent to the Lord. There's even prayers that are sin. So sometimes people use the word prayer and they say, oh yeah, I believe in prayer. Well, what are you talking about though? Prayer to who? Prayer about what? No, prayer is not prayer. There are millions of people on the planet praying to false gods that don't even exist. Their prayers are sin. Their prayers are disrespectful of the one true living God. Their prayers are rebellion and sin. And the scripture says in Proverbs that if you turn away your ear from hearing the law, the word, even your prayer is an abomination. I know Brother Hagin, my father in the faith, years ago said when he was pastor and a man came to him and asked him to agree with him that he was praying and believing that God would give him another man's wife that was in the church. Well, it's prayer. Huh? No, see, that's the word's real plain. I mean, there's a specific verse about that one. Thou shalt not covet, is that right? Your neighbor's wife. And so he's acting like that word is not even in the scripture. And praying something completely contrary and opposite to it, that prayer is an abhorrent prayer. That prayer is sin. Can Can you see that?
Yep.
And that's why, a couple of sessions back, we talked about John 15:7, that Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, that's not just asking anything off the top of your head, right? That's you communing daily and regularly with the Lord, and you're being full of His Word and knowing His will and His ways. Well, then you're going to ask in line, right? In line with His Word and His ways. And you're going to pray a prayer that He can hear, that He can receive, and that He can answer. These things are of the utmost importance. He went on to say in verse 6, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. So you don't pray for other people's benefit. One minister was talking about, he was walking by the altar one time, and there were people down there praying, And one guy was praying close to somebody that in the church that had a lot of money. And he's praying, oh God, I need this money, by the end of the week. And move on somebody. Move on. That's not, you're not praying to God. You're trying to con somebody.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
That's not okay at all. It's hypocritical, acting like you're praying and you're not even trying to talk to God. You're talking to somebody else proverbially over God's shoulder. Talking to them. Mm-mm. And that's what he was saying. He said those people, they only pray where they can be seen and heard. They're praying for other people's benefit. And that means the God they can't see is not real enough to them. But if you really have faith in God, you pray where nobody sees it. And nobody hears it.
That's right.
Except Him.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you don't really believe in God, you're not going to pray by yourself alone. So he went on to say, verse 7, when you pray, don't use not vain repetitions. Now, boy, this is ignored in whole denominations and groups, because people pray the same phrases over and over and over and over again. And the Lord said it is vain. Vain means useless. There's a lot of praying. It does absolutely no good. In fact, people would be better off not doing it. But there is a prayer that God can hear. Hallelujah. And receive. And answer. And miracles result. That's the only kind of praying I'm interested in. How about you? I don't care about this religious ritual stuff. I want to be delivered from all that. I only want to pray a prayer that the Lord's pleased with and will hear and can answer. When you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like to them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. When you come and talk to the Father about something, whatever you're telling Him is not news to Him.
That's right?
Right? You didn't inform Him of anything He didn't already know. And so there's no reason to tell Him another 400 times. Not only did He hear you the first time, He knew it before you said it the first time.
That's right.
We need to keep ourselves aware of who we're talking to.
Amen.
the creator of the universe. Hallelujah. The all-powerful, all-knowing. Hallelujah. Everywhere present. Almighty God is my Father. Hallelujah. And I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And He'll hear me. Ooh. Can we really talk to the Creator of the universe?
Yes.
Will He really give us an audience?
Yes.
Will He really hear us?
Yes.
This is no small thing.
No.
This is big, 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 big.
Yeah.
But we need to have proper respect and conduct ourselves with at least a little bit of dignity. Right?
Right?
I mean, what if you went into in any top office in the world, president's office, prime minister's office, king's receiving room, and you came in there screaming and yelling, "Oh, king! Oh, king! Oh, king! Oh, king! Oh, king! Oh, king!" And you did this for an hour. Well, that'd drag you out of there long before that. But what would the king or the prime minister be saying? What? What do you want? Right? Stand up and talk like an intelligent person. What are you wanting to say to me? What are you asking of me? Now, I say this because people have gotten religious and just do a bunch of junk and go through a bunch of gyrations and motions and yelling and all kind of stuff. And just because they have gotten into an emotional, religious rut. And you'll see that it's a repetitious thing. Repetitious. Same stuff over and over and over. The Lord said, don't do it. Don't do it. If the Lord said, don't do it.
Don't do it.
If He said, don't do it, you do it anyway. Should you expect that prayer to get answered?
No.
No. You're ignoring what He said. And that's what the proverb says. If you turn away your ear from hearing what He said, even your prayer is an abomination. The Lord don't want to hear it. He wants you to pray in line with what He said. And He wants you to be in agreement with Him. Now we said, what is prayer? And we gave a definition. We said prayer is communion with the Creator. Prayer is fellowship with the Father. Now you already know, and I already know what communion is. We already know what fellowship is. What is it? It's spending time with somebody. Talking and listening. Right? Sharing time. Sharing space. Sharing ideas. Maybe having a meal together. Sharing food. The idea of fellowship is a share. Sharing in common. Not one-sided. Well, we're talking about communing with God. Fellowshipping with Him. That's what prayer is. Now, men have turned it into this religious ritual. But it was never that. Not with God. Look with me, if you would, in Luke, the 18th chapter. You believe the Lord is hearing our prayer at the front of the service and helping us with these things? And
yes.
We're growing and we're going to get rid of all the junk prayer. Huh? And we're going to pray effectively. We're not going to be religious, foolish about it. We're going to commune with God. And we're going to pray prayers He can hear. And we're going to hear from Him. This is real prayer. In Luke, the 18th chapter and verse 1. Luke 18:1, Jesus spoke a parable to them to this end. To what end? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to give up. give up praying. We spent some time, two or three sessions ago, talking about, the Bible said, pray without ceasing. And I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He's not talking about that you pray every breath. This, you know, part of the time you're asleep, right? Part of the time you're doing other things. But you never go a day and don't pray. This is how you live. This is not a Sunday thing. And that's what the Master's saying. He spoke that men ought always to pray. I want you to just go ahead and say it. Say, I pray.
I pray.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I pray.
I pray.
Now, it's not like it's this terribly difficult thing to do. You talk to other people every day.
That's right?
Yep. You spend time with other people.
Yep.
We're just talking about spending time with Him.
Right.
Talking to Him. Listening to Him. And it being real.
Yeah.
Not some religious ritual thing. Now keep reading. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And he said, avenge me of mine adversary. She said, and he would not. After a while, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night to him, though he bear long with them? Now this is a contrast. He's saying even an ungodly ruler would give in to somebody who wouldn't quit.
Amen.
He's not saying he's like the ungodly leader. He's saying persistence will pay off even in the world, even with ungodly folks. And he's saying how much more will God avenge his own elect? And you see why some of this, it couldn't happen the same day that you prayed it. These things have to do with judgment. Avenge me. These things have to do with judgment. And you don't know, and I don't know, when people have gotten to the point where they will never repent. And we want to be merciful with them like the Lord's been merciful with us. But if things are not right and people are being hurt and wrongs are being done and you cry out to God, He hears you. And even though you might not see it all change by next week, He won't forget. I said, He won't forget.
Right.
And sometimes people think, well, yeah, well, they died and they got away with it. It ain't over.
Amen.
I said, it ain't over.
Right.
Nobody ever gets away with anything.
Amen.
The good news is, if you'll repent, the blood of the Lamb can wash you and cleanse you so that you will not be judged for it.
Amen.
Because Jesus was judged. But if you won't do that, you will have to answer for it.
That's
right. If not in this life, past this life. But the next verse, let's go into verse 8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? Keep going. And He spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And you'll see He's still talking about prayer. Keep going. Two men went up to the temple to do what?
Pray.
To pray. The one a Pharisee. Now Pharisees were the most religious sect. They spent a lot of time studying the scriptures. Technical study of the scriptures. And they had a lot of rules. Do's and don'ts. The other was a publican. Now publicans were tax collectors and some of the most hated people in the whole area. They were, they used the word publican like a cuss word. Publican. That means you are pun scum. You are low. So one of them's the most religious person you could find. The other one was considered the lowest, sorriest person. One of the reasons why is because some of these tax collectors abused their positions. They would pad the tax bill and pocket the difference. Yeah. Crooked's been around a long time. Verse 12. This Pharisee is praying. Now, he's praying in front of people, and he's praying where other people can hear him. He starts off with, I. Now, you're going to see that word again several times. But the prayer the Lord gave us to pray, how does it start out with? My Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. It don't start off with me. It starts off with him. But this Pharisee, he said, back up to verse 10, was it? Was it 10? Yeah, the Pharisee and the publican. Verse 11. Notice this now. This language is so telling. The Pharisee stood up and prayed how? With himself. So who's in this prayer?
Him
and who else?
Him.
Just him. Is this a communion with God?
No.
No. This is just something he's doing with himself. You reckon anybody else has done that?
Yes.
Since then? Well, what good is that, though? What good is that? He said, oh God, I thank thee. I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. I'm not like this publican over here. This guy's over here trying to pray, too. And the Pharisee goes, thank God I'm not like him. Low life publican. Verse 12. I'm so thankful I'm not like this sorry human being here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I mean, I get out the calculator. And I tithe salt and pepper. Now let's remind ourselves, what's he doing? Praying. He's praying. No, the scripture said he's praying. But who's he praying to? Who's he praying with? God is not a part of this prayer. He's acting like he's praying to God. He used the word God, but God's not in it. Reckon how many other prayers God is not even in it. He's not even in the conversation. And see, that's why the Lord started out in Matthew 6, when they asked him to pray, teach him to pray, he started out by telling them, don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this. Why? Elsewise, your prayers are meaningless. They're absolutely useless and accomplish nothing. Now, other people can do what they want to, but we don't come just to play church. To us, God is real.
Yes,
huh? And we know that he's smarter than us.
That's right.
And we know that Jesus is Lord, not me.
That's right.
Not you.
That's right.
And so he says, do it this way. We want to do it the way he said.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we want to pray prayers he can answer.
Yes, we do.
And so we got to get rid of this other stuff. Keep reading. He said, Back up to verse 12 again. I, see the emphasis. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Yeah, but who's he doing it for? For whose benefit? He's not even talking to God about it. He's certainly not hearing from God about it. Keep going. The publican, standing afar off, he wouldn't even get close. He wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. Well, he probably knows he's made a lot of mistakes. Messed up. Maybe he was doing what we're talking about, padding the tax bill, pocketing the money, taking advantage of people, lying and stealing. But God's merciful. I said he's merciful.
Amen.
He'll forgive people you wouldn't forgive.
That's right.
He will. And he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Is he really talking to God?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. Is he putting on a show for somebody else to see and hear?
No.
No, he's not. For one thing, he got far off. He didn't get up there in the front. Did you notice some people, the only place they'll dance is in front? How'd we get to there? Why can't you dance in the back? Just a thought. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you remember the scripture said, God resists the proud. Do you want to be resisted of God? Oh, no. You're not going to make it in that kind of way. But he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. And with enough grace, you can come out of anything. I said, with enough, one definition of grace is God's help. That's part of his grace. With enough God's help, you can get free of anything. With enough of God's help, you can overcome anything. With enough of God's help, you can come from the absolute bottom of the ditch to the top. To the top. To the top. The Bible said he takes people from the dunghill and sets them with princes. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Whew. But it won't happen. You playing games.
That's right.
Huh? And fronting and acting, you know, trying to act religious and doing things for other people's benefit. And God, the Bible said, all things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You cannot hide anything from God. You can't shade anything. You got to get real and be real and genuine and honest and humble with him if you want to connect. If you want to connect with him. There's no other way. Because he won't listen to a bunch of phony stuff. He just won't listen to it. He knows you're not even trying. You're not even serious. Other people might not know it, but he knows it. He knows it. So the man smote his breast and he said, oh God, be merciful to me. Is he humbling himself with the Lord? Is he aware of who he's talking to? He's not doing it for somebody else's benefit. And verse 14, Jesus is using this as an example. He says, I'm telling you, this man, which man? The publican, the hated man. He went down to his house justified rather than the religious man, the Pharisee. Why? He's saying God heard his prayer. If he went down to his house justified, then God heard his prayer and forgave him and was merciful to him. This is real prayer. This is prayer with results. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is a man that no matter what he had done and how ugly and dishonest he had been, he's got mercy. I said he's got mercy and grace to help. And Jesus is lifting this up as an example. Can you see this is prayer? And he's saying, do not pray like this. Don't stand up and tell me how great you are. Huh? Because he knows. He knows the stuff other folks don't know. He knows it all. Right? So do not stand up there and act like something that's not true and right. And he said, for everyone that exalts himself will be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And again, who gets the grace? Those that humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Scripture said, he'll lift you up. Hallelujah. You lift up yourself, you're on your own. You don't get help. Look with me, if you would, go over to the book of Genesis. Genesis 3. Part of this is one of the saddest things in the Bible, because it is the fall of man. And we cannot throw stones at Adam and Eve. Because all of us have done the same thing. You might say, I have not. You most certainly have. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what they did. So you and I have already proven what we would have done if we'd have been in their place. The only way you could say no. No, if I'd have been in the garden, I would not have eaten that forbidden fruit, is if you could stand up and say, I have never sinned. I have never violated light. And don't you dare stand up and say that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what they did. And so that's why all of us, just as much as Adam and Eve, we needed a Savior. And thank God we have one.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank God we have one to save us from our own sin and failures and faults and rebellion and disobedience. But notice what things were like before this happened. In Genesis 3, skipping down to verse 6, the woman ate of the fruit and gave to her husband, and he did eat. And their eyes were open. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Prior to this, they didn't know really what naked was. And there was no reason to be embarrassed or ashamed or afraid of anything, about anything. What a wonderful place. We're going to experience a place like that again. The Lord has prepared for us new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But they had sinned, they had disobeyed, and fallen, and now had knowledge not only of good but of evil. Some things you're better off not knowing. Listen to me, especially young people. Don't experiment with drugs.
Amen.
Huh? Don't sleep around and experiment with sex. Don't do it. If you will heed this, you will spare yourself untold problems. Y'all with me? Because for one thing, how can the devil tempt you to be a heroin addict and you've never tried it? You don't know what it is. Huh? He can't tempt you with something you have no experience. He can talk about it. He can try. But the problem is, there's some things, if you try it, your flesh may really like it.
Right.
Hmm? Now you got a problem. Because the enemy's got a hook. I said he's got a hook. Because he can come and say, man, that high was something. You know you want to do it again. What if you had never experienced it? The enemy can't mess with you about it. Now, if you already have, like many, starve yourself in that area of anything to do with that, and the desire will grow weaker and weaker and weaker over time until you'll go months and not even think about it. But if you mess around with it, if you look at it, listen to it, you know, the desire will stay strong and it'll get stronger until it can torment you, dominate you. But young people, are you listening? Spare yourself all this. Spare yourself. So the scripture says that they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. That's pitiful. It's pitiful. And it's a perfect picture of man's attempt to cover up his mistakes. How long is fig leaves going to last? Right? What if a big breeze comes blowing through? Or a rainstorm, right? I mean, this has no future. But notice verse 8. Notice verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Like they could hide themselves from him. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice. Now that word can also be translated sound. I heard your voice. I heard your sound in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you? You were naked. Did you eat of the tree I commanded you that you should not eat? And I don't want to get into this side of it, but can you see that this was something that apparently happened maybe every day? God personally visits. Can you see this?
Yeah.
And they knew it was him because they would hear a sound and he would come where it says in the cool of the day, that could be translated breezes. Breeze makes you cooler. And God is spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost with a sound like a rushing mighty wind. Right?
Yeah.
So they would hear this very unique sound and breeze coming through. And they knew that was Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
That was the Almighty, their Creator and their Father, the Father of spirits. And there's something unusual about this in that they didn't meet him. This time, they went and hid, which is why he calls for them. He knows what's happened. But this is what it was like from the beginning. And notice the term walked, walking. Look at it again, verse 8. They heard the voice. Or the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they didn't. It didn't say they ran away from him because they'd never heard a sound like that and they were scared of him. No, the reason they ran away is because they said they were naked now. That's the change. And so God made the earth and made human beings. And the next thing he did is visits with them. Is that right? Visits with them. And I think you could, this could infer from this that this was a regular thing. Perhaps a daily thing. Cool of the day, well, that happened every day. And here he comes. And he and they commune. That's why he made them us. That's why he made them. That's why he made us. We talked about this before, but it'll bear repetition to look. That we are called, the scripture said, to communion. Oh, somebody say communion.
Communion.
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Put up 1 John 1:9 again, please. 1 John 1:9. Are we still talking about prayer?
Yes.
Prayer is not this dead religious ritual thing that so many people have fallen into. Prayer is communion with the Creator. Goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Prayer is fellowship with your Father. Hallelujah. I have a relationship with the Almighty. I'm related to Him. He is my Father. I am His child. His son. Well, relationships don't mean much if there's no fellowship. Not enough to just say somebody's legally related to somebody. That's not what we'd call a real relationship. There's got to be the fellowship aspect of it. You spend some time with somebody. You know them, they know you. You talk. They hear you, they talk. You listen. And he said, was this 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9 said God is faithful. But notice what this is said in connection with. By whom you were called to what? Every believer is called to fellowship. That's your first call and your most important call. Every preacher, every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the first and most important call is not preaching to people. It's this, fellowship. Because if you don't have the fellowship with Him, your preaching won't be what it's supposed to be. Your ministry won't be what it's supposed to be. Whatever it is. Let's say you feel like my ministry is more of giving and helping people in need. Yeah, but you can't meet everybody's needs. So what should you do? With whom? Where? How? When? Where are you going to get all that? Fellowship. Fellowship, and with Him, you find out. What's my part? What I can and should do? When, where, how, and with whom? Said out loud, I am called
to fellowship.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Him. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the what?
Communion
of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Communion. Can you see that when this phrase walked with. They walked with Him. He walked with them. And that word walk, it has the meaning of keeping step with. Well, that makes sense. If you're walking at this pace and I'm walking at another pace, you're walking that direction and I'm walking that direction, I'm not walking with you. We're doing our own thing. But if I'm walking with you, I'm in sync with you. Is that right? The definition is to keep step with, in agreement with, in accord with, in line with. We're not just to work for God. We are to work with God. You can work for God and never pray. And never hear from God. And you might do a few good things here and there, but you'll make more mistakes than anything else. And you'll waste all kind of time, and you'll do all kind of things you shouldn't be involved in, and you'll be frustrated, and this goes on and on. A lot of people do a lot of things for God that the Lord never told them to do. But to work with God, you got to pray. Yes. Right? You got to spend time with Him, talking to Him about it and listening to Him about it. Everybody say, walk with God. Work with God. Not just for. With. You'll find this keeps coming up. They heard the sound and they knew it was the Almighty. Why is He here? He's come to visit. He's come to talk to you. We're made in His likeness and image with the capacity to understand Him. Whew. With the your mind is not your brain. I've heard people, you know, maybe in university or something, people are studying for finals and somebody says, man, I think I've got something crammed in every cell in my brain. Your brain is not your mind. Your mind is part of your being that you can't see. And it is unlimited. There is no limit to what you can learn. There's no limit to what you can understand. Even when your brain is decomposing in the grave, you'll still be you, you'll still have your mind, and you'll be expanding in knowledge and understanding in a different place. And one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and God's going to restore your brain and your whole body, and it's going to become incorruptible and immortal and give it back to you, and now you'll have a body that can keep up with your spirit. And never age.
Hallelujah.
Never deteriorate. Hallelujah. Has God done it all for us, or has He done it all for us? Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 5, please. To walk with means to keep step with. It actually was used also as a military term. Like soldiers marching in step with each other so that the row stays straight. So if you're walking with God, you're not here and He's not over there. If you're walking with God, y'all are walking together. And you're in agreement with where, you know, He's not just going with you, you're going with Him.
Amen.
Huh? He's not just supporting you. You're doing His will and His plan.
That's right.
In agreement with Him, in accord with Him, in line with Him. These are definitions of walking with. We know Adam and Eve did that with God before the fall. And that's prayer. That's prayer. In Genesis 5, verse 21, it said, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And verse 22, Enoch did what?
Walked with God.
Huh?
Walked with God.
Now you'll find different terms in the scripture. One of them is about walking before God. That's a different term. That's a different meaning. This one is the communion one. Walk, you could walk before God in uprightness and trying to do the right thing and this and that. But the walking with is talking about fellowship. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So for three centuries, he's honing his prayer life. Can you see this? And what's he doing? Well, the Bible calls it walking with God. What is that? It's fellowship. It's communion. How do you do it? Well, the Bible goes on to say, verse 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. All of these ages in this chapter are symbolic of and incorporated in prophecy as well. There is so much in this chapter with these numbers. Now, don't get into just a numerology thing. I'm not talking about that. But it portrays, enough said. Verse 24, and Enoch did what? Wants to make sure you understand this now. What else do we know about Enoch? Not much. Except this, but this is a biggie. Enoch did what?
Walked
with. In step. In lockstep. In agreement with. In accord with. He walked with God. And then he was not. For God took him. Not what? Not around anymore. You couldn't find him. Couldn't find his grave. Couldn't find his body. Where'd he go? God took him. Where? We don't know. Where is he? We don't know. Where's Uncle Enoch? God took him. Well, Hebrews 11 is verse 5 and 6 talks about this. How he did it. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Because you got to remember, this is many, many years past Adam and Eve's fall.
Yes. Yes.
So sin and the curse and death is in the earth. Now, God made men's and women's bodies so perfect that it took almost a millennia for the devil to teach people how to die back then. Because their body wasn't made to die. Even now, those that study these things, your body replaces every cell every so many years. So theoretically, you should never die. But because of the curse, at a certain point, once you reach your peak physically, the cycle doesn't quite make it. Huh? But that God designed it to be endless. But thank God, he's going to glorify the body. We talked about that. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Why? How? By faith. Because God had translated him. Now that means taking you out of one thing and putting you in something else. And before his translation, he had this testimony. That what?
God.
He was praying prayers contrary to what God said? No. He was walking with him. He was in line with him. He was agreeing with him. He was fellowshipping with him. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we know how Enoch walked with God exactly the same way we do today. Not that he saw him. Not that he could hear him with his ear or touch him with his hand. He walked with him
by faith.
By faith. So how'd that start? Well, apparently when he was about 65. Huh? So 65 is not too old to start some great big new things. Huh? Huh? He got to thinking. He thought, now, we all know about Adam and Eve. Those stories would have been passed down from generation to generation. We all know about Grandpa and Grandma, how they used to hang out with God, talk with God, walk with God in the cool of the perfect Garden of Eden. And he got to thinking, why can't I do that? Why can't we do that? I want to do that. I want to do that. But they can't get back in the garden. And, you know, there's all this death and curse down here now. And a lot of people just had given up and thought, well, that's it. We're out. It's over. But not Enoch. He said, no. I want to walk with God like Adam did. Like Eve did. I want to. Why can't I? And then God helped him out. You know, because if you hunger and desire for some things, you'll be filled. The Lord will show you. He'll get you there. So a thought came to him. Well, am I not everywhere? Yeah. Doesn't the Lord know and everything? Yeah, well, he'd know it if you said something. Yeah. Well, talk to me. So, and it goes outside. He says, God, I don't see you. I don't feel you. But I believe. I believe you're here. And I've heard the stories that Adam and Eve told about you. And I believe you're a good God. I believe you're somebody I can talk to. So I'm just going to talk to you. I'm just going to talk to you and believe that you hear me. Could you call that prayer?
Yes.
Of course it is. You know what happened? You know what happened? The moment he did that in genuine heart and faith and love and respect, you know what happened? He sensed the presence of God. He didn't see, but he sensed the presence of God. He thought, okay, all right, I'm doing this. Hallelujah. And so day by day, he would spend more time. And the more time he spent, and the more time he focused on God and kept his mind on him and talking to him, the more God's presence manifested with him and around him. And the next thing you know, God's talking to him. He's not necessarily hearing a voice, but the thoughts are coming so crystal clear to his mind. And he knows, I didn't think that up. Where'd that came from? God. That came from God. And so he got excited, and he spent more time, and he spent more time, and he spent more time, and he'd get caught up, you know, half a day. And somebody'd say, where's Enoch at? He didn't come in for lunch. Well, you know what he's doing out there, talking to God, you know. People can mock and make fun if they want to, but you experience the real presence of God. Nothing else will ever satisfy you again. Hallelujah. And is that not prayer?
Yes.
Talking to God?
Yes.
Hearing from God?
Yes.
Also called communion, also called fellowship, also called walking with God. How about you? Huh? How about you? The Bible said, he that walks with wise men shall be wise. Why? Well, walking with people and hanging out. And if they're full of wisdom and full of knowledge and understanding, if you'll be quiet once in a while, they'll say something. And you'll go, oh, wow. Now, that's good. Can that happen with God? It's supposed to happen. And it is happening. It has happened with us to a degree. Let's take it another notch.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take it another step and spend some more time talking with God and focusing. And we live in a loud, distracting world, especially with all our technology. There needs to be some times, dear heart, that you turn everything off. That didn't go over too good. I said, dear one, there needs to be some times that you turn stuff off. And you're not perpetually, continually interrupted mid-thought, mid-sentence, mid-word. That's not good. That's not okay. You wind up fatigued because of all this barrage of stuff all the time. There needs to be a time where it's just you and Him. Just you and Him. Just you and Him for more than 2.5 minutes. And you'll find if you just like Enoch, by faith, say, Lord, I know you're here. Your presence is everywhere. I know you hear me when I speak from my heart and I'm not playing games. And so I'm going to talk to you. And when you in genuine faith and love and respect reach out to Him, what did the Bible say? If you draw near, huh? If you draw near to Him, tell me what the rest of the verse is. You draw near to He will respond. He will. He will respond and draw closer to you. And you'll sense it. I'm not trying to feel things physically, but you'll sense His presence. And the more you do it, the stronger it will be until it's undeniable. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you'll know that you're doing better when you look down at your watch and time has passed more than you realized.
Yes.
That's when you know you're doing it right. You were going to just do this for a few minutes and you look down and it's been an hour and a half. You think, okay, all right, all right. Hallelujah. And you will have received some things.
Yes.
Some things will have gotten in you. You will get direction, know what to do, where, when, how, whom.
Yes.
Save yourself all kind of problems. Stand on your feet, everybody. Everybody said out loud, I walk with God. And He walks with me. I pray and commune with God every day. Every day, I pray. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That this is prayer right here. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. Say, thank you, Father. Oh, just do it in your own way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being so good. Being so gracious. Being so kind. Being so merciful. What a good God you are. What a great God. What a great Father. You are my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.